The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, and does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study this evening in the doctrine of authority. We're dealing with the vocabulary, page 2 of our notes. All right, speaking of authority, if we expect to benefit from the study once again this evening, it demands that we submit ourselves to the authority of God the Holy Spirit. We do this by employing the rebound technique as necessary in our personal sin and life, which God the Holy Spirit then fills us, and He is in a position of rulership. He guides us, leads us, and directs us to all truth, as well as to all the divine good production and the Christian way of life as so designed by God. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound, as is our custom. We start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for yet another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We thank you for the revelation of it, to revealing the truth to those who are seekers of you, who are willing to align themselves regards to your will for their lives in this respect, and that God the Holy Spirit will once again enlighten us to truth in the matters in hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, authority, the principle of authority, is high up on God's list of important things for the believer who wants to be adjusted in their Christian life to be oriented to. That includes both civil as well as spiritual authorities, the establishment chain of command, and the royal chain of command. God establishes all authority. He is responsible for every authority in every place the person is placed in throughout history. And therefore, he looks for the believer in the witness of the life to exemplify in respect and honor to God in submission to that authority, that proper authority. And even when the authority is abusive, as it can be on occasion, it doesn't negate that importance and responsibility, the principle in and of itself, just as we just saw with Hagar and Yahweh's command to her to return back under her authority, Sarai, even when that wasn't going all that well for Hagar and her part. And here in the area we're dealing with, we're looking simply at the vocabulary. We've looked at the Hebrew and the Greek. There's two primary words, exousia, generally translated authority, then dunamis, that's our word for power. It's also translated authority. You can see exousia translated as a power on occasion also. And there's other words that are associated with authority that further gives us insight, if you will, in regards to the issues surrounding authority, such as exousiazo, to have authority over someone, obviously to be in a position of authority. Point B, subpoint 2, we've looked at these verses, so we'll just review these. The compound verb, kat exousiazo, that means to exercise authority over. C, epitasso, to give a command, to order. To have authority doesn't mean that you have to necessarily play on people in regards to how you deal with them, if you will, in what people may often call a disrespectful tone. But when it's coming in authority, the tone may be terse, it may be straightforward. Please isn't necessary in commands in regards to authorities. You don't see that in the military. You want a good lesson on authority, just to visit the military for a while. You can imagine a drill instructor, now please, troops, twoops, as our military instructor always liked to call them. his Daffy Duck relation, I think. But anyway, you know, that's authority. Now, obviously, authority can be abusive otherwise, but to give commands to order, this is the SCA doesn't like authority. I don't probably have to tell anybody that. If you're in tune with your SCA at all, you recognize the commands in the Bible, the Scripture, to do this or don't do that. The SCA often takes issue with these things, see, and tries to rear its ugly head in contradiction to that and to rebel against it. D, the compound dia tasso, again, to give commands, orders, give instructions. When one gives a command, they are instructing another person in regards to duties or what the authority wants them to do. It has its cognates, dia tage and dia tagma, which translate into a decree, a law, if you will, in regards to the commands of authority. Authority establishes law. We know that in the establishment roles. Hupotasso, another compound verb. That's primarily a military meaning, and it means to put in subjection. Subjection in an active sense, or be subject to in a passive sense. So part, sometimes the authority's responsibility is to reel people in, see. To put in a subjection to alignment with their authority. And then on the other end of the coin, to be passive is to align oneself to that authority. F, hupa, kuo. A kuo is our word for hearing. Here, in this nuance, it means to listen and so obey. Those like a kid not paying attention to the parent giving them instructions and doesn't give indication listening to the parent, are you listening to me? You know, blah, blah, blah. You got to listen to the authority, hear what they have to say in order to be able to execute their commands appropriately. And then you have the cognate hupa koe, which means obedience. And if you want to make one change on that particular point, set point F, that's Hebrews 5:8. Instead of 18. We didn't read it last time, but the error was caught. All right, G, this is where we pick up. You have the compound verb parangelo, P-A-R-A-N-G-E-L-L-O. It's used 30 times to command and is used of a superior to an inferior. The authority to the subordinate, see. And obviously, it doesn't, because one is under authority, doesn't make them any less of a person. But in the execution, one obviously has a lesser place and position and role under an authority. Example, Luke 5:14. Christ, after healing the leper, he ordered him to tell no one. He gave him command. That's our term. Christ wasn't in it for the approbation. In fact, he most often told people after he healed them, just go on, be quiet about it. Thank God, you know, the idea is thank God for the grace. You don't have to go around showing it. People recognize it soon enough. And you haven't walked your whole life. Now you're all strolling around down the market. You know, who are you? I got a twin brother. He's a cripple. But anyway, you want to mess with him. Acts 17:30, another example. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent. The word declaring is our term, parangelo, and that's a command to change your mind, to come to a change of mind, and make the adjustments to God. See, It's not a request. When an order is given, it's not a request. It may be, if they so define it as such. But Bible doctrine, generally, the royal imperatives are just that. They are imperatives or commands. 1 Corinthians 7:10. Our term, but to the Mary I give instructions. Not I, but the Lord. And the wife should not leave her husband. In a situation. Of discord, strife in a marriage. Try to make amends. Again, God holds in high regard the divine institution of marriage, one that is obviously under direct attack by our society, even within its most common sense boundaries of existence. So the instruction, the command, and Paul makes it clear, as communicators do on occasion, look, these aren't my words. I'm not up here trying to wield a big stick over people's heads and browbeat them with doctrine or anything like that. No, this comes from God, see. The Lord's command. Also, 2 Thessalonians 3:4, 1 Timothy 1:3, 6, 13, and 17. You can look those up on your own. A cognate out of the family of words is parangelia, P-A-R-A-N-G-E-L-I-A. Parangelia, if you will, accents on the last diphthong, ia. Five times, command, order, 1 Timothy 1:18. In regards to Paul to Timothy, Paul's the authority as the apostle, one of the appointed 12 who held the highest authority in the church, early church. And Timothy, a pastor teacher. And this command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son or child, is terms of endearment. Command is a charge, see, a responsibility that's laid upon one through the imperative given. In accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight. And part of fighting the good fight for Timothy, obviously, is staying the course, keeping the faith. That's fighting the good fight. When one abandons Bible class, abandons Bible doctrine, then basically they desert the fight. See? They got to get back into the mix if they want to find honor from God in service to Him in this respect. H, our next word, is a compound entellomai, E-N-T-E-L-L-O-M-A-I, used 17 times to enjoin upon, to charge with. Acts 1:2. Christ providing the commission, the responsibilities for the apostles upon His departure until the day when He was taken up in ascension, His final ascension, after He had by the Holy Spirit, who is the spiritual God link for communication of doctrine between God and humanity. Given orders to the apostles whom He had chosen. Hebrews 11:22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Entelomai. He charged him with the responsibility. He didn't want his bones to be left. It is all symbolic. There's nothing mystical about this. Somehow it's important where your remains end up in this world. It can end up being shark bait and the refuge after the fact. And still, God knows exactly where every molecule exists. But this is in regards to, it is an expression as a witness, if you will, to Israel. After the fact. Take my bones to Israel. Eventually, obviously in his resurrection, he knows he'll be residing there anyway. So all those things are kind of cool. Then you have the cognate, entole, E-N-T-O-L-E, used 67 times, simply translated commandment. Matthew 5:19, look at John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Commandment is essentially an order, a charge, see. In 2 Peter 2:21. I, our verb, pitharcheo, P-E-I-T-H-A-R-C-H-E-O, used four times. It means to obey one in authority. Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, after they were told not to go around teaching doctrine, spreading the gospel. They had appealed to a higher authority. They answered and said, we must obey God rather than men. So in the chain of command, whether it's establishment or the royal chain of command, you have those who are higher in authority. And obviously the highest authority is God Himself. And He demands first place. See? And so there, if there is an area of which one may circumvent, if you will, human authority, is when God's authority declares otherwise. And remember, these men were given the commission to go out and spread the gospel. See? So otherwise, you orient and acclimate. Also, Titus 3:1. Remind then, believers in the church, be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient. Our term, by Tharkel, to be ready for every good work. J, and simply the verb pitho, P-E-I-T-H-O, used 54 times in the passive voice, followed by the dative case, the indirect object. It has the sense to obey. The basic idea of this verb is to persuade. Persuasion can come dressed in different forms. It may be an appealing, look at it logically type of approach, or it may simply just be in your face, direct command, and that persuades. See? you don't do this, then these are the repercussions. Acts 5:37, back to Acts. After this man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him, he too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. that's our term, followed him. He persuaded them, to influence. Galatians 5:7. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who persuaded you? Who influenced you? Someone who assumed authority over them that was not rightly theirs to assume. False teachers, in their case. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders. There, it means to trust. Or term pipo in the passive sense. To trust and submit to them, for they will keep watch over your souls. You know, you've got to trust someone in life. The Bible says, let it be your right local church, your shepherd in their regards, spiritual leaders. Others in the chain of command. If they're outlined, God will take care of it. What else are you going to trust? You know, obviously, yeah, we think for ourselves. We understand that. But to think that you can be an island to yourself and come up with and figure things out in the Bible, well, I don't believe in luck, but you're going to need a lot of it. If really that's the way you think. I mean, I've got the gift. And I still need all the help I can get in interpretation. Trust me, I do everything I can, and I'll borrow wherever I have to borrow to make sure that you get the pure truth in the matter. So that's my goal. It's all that counts. Trust your leaders, submit to them, for they will keep watch over your souls. The most valuable commodity that you possess, your soul, as those who will give an account. We'll be front and center ourselves. God put us in charge. We accepted responsibility under the aspiration of the office. Okay, now you're going to hold yourself accountable in regards to how you conducted your ministry. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you to have the zeal, the proper zeal, the drive. Obviously, it doesn't mean that they don't have lupe in their ministry. But to go at it begrudgingly, drudgingly, this is such a burden. Quite frankly, one of the greatest things in a pastor being in the hold mode is that they have to work in the cosmos before they get to church. And I've worked in the cosmos, and thank you, I'm glad I'm not out there anymore in that sense. I've got to go out there enough as it is just to take care of personal business. I've mentioned sometimes I forget what it's like to be out there until I get on the road, and I recognize, well, where I didn't have that problem with my STA for a long time. Where'd that come from? Yeah. But anyway, you get my drift. Hebrews 13:17, James 3:3. Look at that one. Now we put the bits in the horse's mouth so they may obey us. We direct their entire body as well. To have control. To be able to steer correctly the horse. Where the bit comes in. Man figured it out a long time ago. The sensitivity of the horse's back part of their mouth. And put that bit in there. And you jerk it one way or the other. And that horse learns real quick. Pull it back hard enough on both sides, and that horse will rear right on up. And you keep on pulling, it'll go right on over with you, too. Been there, done that. Now, I haven't gone all the way over, but you learn real quick. Oh, you don't want to pull too long. Okay, our final word here in the Greek, proistemi, proistemi. Eight times it's used, it means simply to be a leader. The doctrine itself gives us leadership principles, how we are to exercise authority appropriately. As to be a leader, have authority over and to manage. Romans 12:8. Part of the spiritual gifts is those who have leadership abilities, often accompanied with administrative gifts. He exhorts in his exhortation. He gives with liberality. He leads with diligence. Anything worse than a disobedient Indian is a chief that don't have their act together. They don't have their ducks in a row and are organized and know how to conduct themselves appropriately. That can be even more harmful than those subordinates otherwise. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. That we request of you, brothers, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. That's our term, proistemi. Spiritual leaders. 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 5, and 12, and then chapter 5, verse 17. All right, moving on here. Roman numeral 3, the categories of authority. As they are broken out, obviously, authority can exist at a multitude of levels. These are general categories as they would be recognized. First of all, the highest authority, you have the authority of God. 1, God is the ultimate authority, and His authority is not derived from any other source. His authority is absolute. He's the Creator. He made us. He made the universe. He made the angels. Who are we to question His intent? Really? You invent something, you don't expect to turn around and question your intent. You know, if you can get one that had enough brain power to converse with you. 2, His authority is immutable. That means He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never changes. It's universal and eternal. Always has been and always will be and is as king over His creation. His authority in the list of attributes is known as His sovereignty. His sovereignty, to be sovereign, is to exercise power and authority over. Exodus 15, 18. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Yahweh. He will exercise His sovereignty for all eternity. Psalm 29:10. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, Yahweh sits as king forever. Whatever happens on this planet, He reigns over it. Psalm 93. Let's try that. Since there is not that many verses. A psalm concerning His sovereignty. his reign. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord has clothed and girded himself with strength, the flexing of his omnipotence, his power. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. It is set in its proper place in the universe, its trajectory around the sun, its orbit, even with a cataclysmic collision of an outer space object, it may tilt it on its axis a little bit, but it stays in the orbit. See, it will not be moved. Whatever man does in regards to this terra firma, the world, with their own destructive devices, the world is going to stay on track until God's ready to speak it out of existence. The throne is established from of old. That's eternity past. You are from everlasting, as God is eternal life. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves. If you live in Virginia and the Carolinas or Georgia, you know that, or the Caribbeans. More than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. He's in control of all that. Your testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits your house, his righteousness, based on his absolute veracity. He is so truthful that it speaks of his righteousness in no uncertain terms. And obviously it is a way to a good thing to dress his house up with, to furnish it, O Lord, forevermore. Psalm 146:10. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. For every descendant generation throughout time, praise the Lord. He is recognized and given that honor and glory by those who are adjusted. Daniel 4:17. Visions of Daniel. This sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers. Elect angels have an astute interest in regards to our history, the goings on in regards to the human race, because it is part of the resolution of the conflict that they faced before we even came into existence. And the decision is a command of the Holy Ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. You can almost take that in the face of Satan's five-eye wheels. God will prove himself with creation, with mankind, that he indeed is the sovereign, no matter who may challenge otherwise. In 34 through 37... Nebuchadnezzar recognizes it when he gets his spiritual act together, comes out of his spiritual funk under his STA. At the end of the period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. It's language of accommodation, basically. Raising his eyes didn't somehow miraculously cure him by looking at the heavens like there's some mystical power and the stars or anything. It's a reflection of he finally humbles himself and looks to the Almighty God who sits high on the throne of his life as well as creation. And that's when his reason returned to me. He had a change of mind.
And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His reign, His rule, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. No matter what Satan and negative volition has attempted to do and tried to do or will do throughout history. No time will they ever be completely successful in wiping out God's kingdom in principle, application, and eventually in reality. And His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth, that looks at positive volition as it appears throughout time. And all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing. It doesn't make any difference who you are. You can't thwart God. But He does according to His will in the host of heaven, in the armies of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off His hand. Or say to Him, what have you done? What have you done? Their mouths will be closed. Verse 36, at that time my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. And my counselors, my nobles began seeking me out. So I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. You know, a lot of things aren't explicitly said sometimes, as we see in Scripture. But you think about the whole ordeal of Nebuchadnezzar and the condition, the mental, emotional, pathetic condition that he was in, as well as physical, losing his rule and handle on reality. And then he shows back up, and yet God turns this whole thing around, and people look at him at one time, that's that crazy SOB that used to sit on the throne, now they're seeking him out. So all that God does when people are willing to make adjustments to God, to bring about everything necessary for them to continue to successfully run their course and have the proper backing, support, etc. necessary. You know, what he came back with probably was wisdom that they hadn't heard except from Daniel. You know, you can just imagine, at least I can. So I was reestablished in my sovereignty, verse 36, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven. For all his works are true and his ways just. And he is able to humble those who walk in pride. That's why God blessed him. Because he went on positive volition and got control over his sin nature, his arrogance, and oriented to God's will for his life. So three, now his authority obviously extends over all aspects of creation. To begin with, angels. The angels. Daniel 4:35. There that we just saw. He does according to his will in the host of heaven. The angelic host. B, mankind. 1 Samuel 2:6-10. The Lord kills and makes alive. Nobody departs from this planet without the green light from God. See? People may say, why? Why the innocent? They didn't do anything. Why would God let them die? You know? Cursing by association is one answer. The other answer is, you don't know what's in people's hearts. God does. What people may appear to be in one fashion, spiritually, they may be something really gross, say, before God. You never know. These people, you have people that went around there and said, oh, God, a gracious God, loving God wouldn't do that. Okay. Enjoy your death. Whenever it's your time,
verse here.
The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. Sheol, whether it's paradise or Hades, as it may be, and resurrects. The Lord makes poor and rich. You don't like your economic state? Well, take it up with Jesus. Take it up with Yahweh. He makes poor, He makes rich. See? He brings low, He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. In His deliverances, He lifts the needy from the ash heap. To make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor.
There'll be believers that fit the economic tier of dirt poor in time, because that was an ish God handed to them. But in eternity, they'll be at the table of fellowship with the highest spiritual nobles, reigning with Christ. See? Let God do it. His timing. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He set the world on them. The pillars of the earth looks at His gravitational stability, that thing that holds it within its own circuit of orbit. This is language of accommodation. This is not literal. Like somehow there's a flat earth. Give me a break. Any sailor will tell you, watch the ship, when it disappears over the horizon, that tells you the earth is round. Otherwise, the water would be flat and you could see it. But there's that stuff is out there. And people will buy into it. Well, if that's the case, then it's square too, if you're going to be a hyper-literalist. Because it's four corners. So anyway, we always like to hit on the easy ones. The goofy stuff. And really, you know, it's amazing. Believers that have been on sometimes on doctrine for years will fall for this stuff. And I'll tell you why they fall for this. Because they left the voice of their shepherd and started following another voice. Oh, I'm going to listen to this, even though their pastor has taught them different. See, I'm going to read this on my own authority. I'll make up my own mind on this. And there they go. Look out, you're going to fall off the earth. This whole idea only in modern times, really, did the science hypothesis that the earth was round come out. Read your books. The flat earth theory came around through Roman Catholicism during their dark era. Even the Muslims at that point in time said, man, you guys are dummies. The earth is round. So, anyway, He keeps the feet of His godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. No matter how powerful one may be physically, with whatever they can wield as power, money, whatever, these people will not prevail. They will eventually be cut off at the shorts, see, by God. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. They will be shattered. Against them He will thunder in the heavens. And we saw some of that thunder in the book of Revelation. For our times. Obviously the thunder during Noah's time. They gave everybody a jolt. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king. And will exalt the horn of His anointed. You want somebody to pay tribute, to honk your horn for you, to set you up for the approbation of all of humanity? God. That's who you want to do that. He's the only one who can. See? But everybody else out in the world is generally, and not everybody, but the world at large is seeking their glory in time. You know, if people don't remember me now, then once we're dead, the idea is, oh, you're dead, nothing else. Well, that's their judgment for being ignorant to doctrine and rejecting principles such as. His authority extends over, obviously, sea, planet Earth, and his creation, both animate and inanimate, of life or stone. Psalm 103:19-22. The Lord established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. His attribute of sovereignty, that he supports through his omnipotence. He enforces. He is the enforcer. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word. The angelic hosts are not a bunch of wimp beings that carry any one of us a new one in a blink of an eye. Their power is extraordinary. They are extraordinary creatures. And, you know, whether we've run across one here and there, maybe in time, knowing it or not knowing it, you know, people seeing angels, as it did in the Old Testament. To see him in after death and actually see an angel like that, you know, it's one of those things to look forward to. And this is the best 3D I've ever seen. Who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Obviously, this is elect angels. They are an example. They are an example to us in the scriptures. They are completely and totally obedient to God. They know the cost at hand in regards to the angelic conflict. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. To serve God, you must perform his directive will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. His works then extends beyond even to inanimate creation. God's will, his power is of such that he bends nature and life in and of itself to perform his grace on behalf of his plan for mankind. He bends it to his will whenever he wants. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, his inherent attributes, covering yourself with light as with a cloak. That's absolute light, light that a human being cannot face in his revelation physically and live. Stretching out heaven like a curtain, he lays the beams of his upper chambers in the water, again in reference to gravitational forces, the atmosphere and how it's been created. He makes the clouds of his chariot, his clouds his chariots. He controls the weather. He walks on the wings of the wind. He makes the winds his messengers, spirits, they're angelic. Hebrews 1:7. Flaming fire, his ministers. Those of judgment type as well. He established the earth upon his foundations, so that it will not totter forever and ever. You did cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters were standing above the mountains, the Noah flood. At thy
At your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder they hurried away. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place where which you did establish for them. You did set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. Oh, they may lap the edge. But high tide or storm tide isn't going to wash over the entire planet. It'll wash wherever you're from. The seas, lakes basically have their boundaries. Tandy sends forth springs in the valleys. They flow between the mountains. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys, the wild asses, quench their thirst. Beside them the birds of the heaven dwell. They lift up their voices among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. The planet doesn't have any complaints. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the labor of man, so that he may bring forth food from the earth. He provides living grace for all, including his creatures as well as humanity, and wine which make man's heart glad, the fruit of the vine, the alcoholic fruit of the vine, so that he may make his face glisten with oil. He put it there for our pleasure, for our enjoyment, and food which sustained man's heart. The trees of the Lord drink their fill, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds build their nests, and the stork whose home is the fir trees, the cypress. Verse 18, the high mountains are for the wild goats. He provides a proper habitat. We're supposed to manage all this. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon for the seasons. The sun knows the place of his setting. You do appoint darkness and becomes night. That verse right there, the sun knows the place of the setting. The sun only on around earth looks like it sets. If it was above us and going around this way, it's not setting. It's just rotating around and disappearing out of sight in that sense. But it actually looks like it's sitting down on the earth. So anyway, I just got things on my mind. You do appoint darkness, it becomes night, in which all the beasts of the forest prowl about. Young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. All these cool things on National Geographic. Wild beasts and animals out there killing their prey. When they kill one, that's God going, here, I fed you. But then you got the bleeding hearts out there. Oh, that poor little animal. Throw them a chihuahua. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. It gives the other animals time to go around without concern of the night predators. A man goes forth to his work, to his labor until evening. Oh Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. There is a sea, great and broad, which are swarmed without number. Animals both small and great. There the ships move along, and Leviathan, which you have formed to sport in it. They all wait for you to give them their food in due season. You do give them, they gather it up. You do open their hand, your hand. They are satisfied with good. They're satiated, their hunger. You do hide your face, they are dismayed. It gives and takes. You do take away their spirit, they expire, their breath, and return to their dust. And you do send forth your spirit, they are created. And you do renew the face of the ground. Let the glory of the Lord endure forever. Let the Lord be glad in his works. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. All this reflecting God's omnipotence. Does nothing to tax him as he causes volcanoes to go off and earthquakes and all these other things. As it would be, you want to explain it in the law of nature, that's fine, as long as you recognize that God's hand is in that. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Verse 34, let my meditation be pleasing to Him. The contemplation of thought on God to be pleasing, because you're thinking the right things. As for me, I should be glad in the Lord. That's where you find your plus H. Let sinners be consumed from the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Imprecatory prayer. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise Yahweh. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light to see things in Jesus' name. Amen.